Some conversations are just hard. Telling someone about the loss of a loved one, talking to the kids about the facts of life, informing an employee that their contract will not be renewed, making small talk with a person with whom you have virtually nothing in common. But few conversations are quite as challenging as trying to talk with someone who seems to have nothing to say. I say this to make a point about God, or to be more precise, to make a point about our experience with God. God doesn't seem to be much of a conversationalist. He's mostly silent when we talk to him. We know from Scripture that God has a voice. According to the book of Genesis, the first words ever spoken were God's words. God said, "Let there be light," and there was light, according to Genesis 1:3. Yet the Bible also shows that God is no chatterbox. God indeed spoke to Moses face to face, as one speaks to a friend. He spoke to Abraham the same way, but ordinary conversation has never been God's primary communication mode, at least not the kind of conversations we are used to having. God has chosen to speak through others most of the time, prophets, preachers, and occasionally angels. Even then, God has never shown himself to be what you would describe as voluble. His words have been, for the most part, relatively few, and sometimes far between. Long gaps of years, decades, centuries, and even millennia separate the occasions where God speaks to his people. We assume that it would be a comfort to hear God speak directly to us. Yet Scripture suggests that we are more likely to be unnerved by the experience. When Israel heard God's voice, they were so put off that they begged him to stop. God came to Elijah in a gentle whisper, but on Sinai it was with a shout and in a blaze of fire. "Go near and listen to all that the Lord our God says. Then tell us what the Lord our God tells you," they begged Moses. "We will listen and obey." It seems more likely that if God spoke directly to us, we would react as they did, or we would put our hands over our ears in stunned silence as Job did. Taken as a whole, the Bible describes many occasions where God revealed himself to specific individuals, but very few had face-to-face conversations with him. As the writer of Hebrews observes, in the past, God spoke to our ancestors through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom also he made the universe. Whatever prayer may be, it is not an ordinary conversation. Believers in every generation have understood prayer as one of the means by which God communicates to his people, yet it is a conversation where we do the majority of the talking. In prayer, we approach God but do not see either face or form and do not hear his voice. Therefore, it is a conversation that lacks all the normal cues we rely upon for meaning. When we talk to God, we cannot rely upon inflection, body language, or facial expression to gauge his response the way we can when conversing with others. Prayer differs from conversation in another respect. Those who pray often talk to themselves as well as to God. The self-talk of prayer is not a pep talk or even positive thinking. When we talk to ourselves in prayer, we remind ourselves of the truth we already know. We remember God's disposition toward us and base our expectations upon it. This kind of prayer talk amounts to a confession of faith made in the presence of God. If prayer is not a conversation in the ordinary sense, then what is it? Prayer is a conversation that moves primarily in one direction. It moves from the believer who prays to the God who hears. God's silence doesn't mean that he is unresponsive. The first assumption of faith is that we have God's attention. 1 John 5:14 and 15 assures us, "This is the confidence we have in approaching God, that if we ask anything according to his will, he hears us. And if we know that he hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have what we asked of him." The key to understanding John's bold and frequently misunderstood promise is to note that to hear in this sense means something more than to take notice of. To hear, as John uses the term, is to grasp the full implications of something. God knows both our desire and our true need. He also knows how our request fits into his plan. It might help if we thought of prayer as communion instead of conversation. The essence of communion is shared experience. The mistake we make is to interpret God's silence as absence or disinterest. In true conversation, listening is interaction as much as speech. Listening may even be more of an exchange than words, because to really listen, we must enter into someone's experience. Sometimes when we pray, we feel like we need to do something to attract God's attention. We're like a person on the ground, waving their hands at a plane passing high overhead, hoping that someone up there will see us. God does not have to come down from on high to take note of us. We don't need to arrest his attention. Although we often talk about coming into God's presence, the truth is that we are already there. We're not trying to capture God's attention, but responding to an overture that he has already made. Not only was God the first to speak, he spoke to us long before we ever uttered a word to him. He has revealed himself in creation and by his written word. We don't need to feel God's presence to know that he is present when we pray. Psalm 139 assures us that wherever we are, God is already there. "Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence?" the psalmist says. "If I go up to the heavens, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there." The awkwardness of prayer should not put us off. It doesn't originate with God, but with us. We have felt uncomfortable with other conversations we've had and have pushed through the discomfort to say what needed to be said. How much more should this be true when it comes to God? "You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all my ways," the psalmist declares. "Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely." We do not need to feel that God is near to be in his presence. We do not need to be comfortable to pray. We do not need to speak nicely to be heard. Before we have even uttered a word, God knows our minds and hearts completely. Hi, this is John Kessler. Thanks for tuning into a Stranger in the House of God podcast. I also want to invite you to be on the lookout for my latest book, entitled When God is Silent, coming from Lexham this August. It's a book about prayer, but probably not like any you've read before. This book does more than answer questions like how and why we should pray. It will help you to understand why we struggle with prayer, and why it often seems like an awkward conversation with God. When God is Silent, we'll invite you to gain a sense of God, of his goodness, and the rich welcome that's waiting for us every time we approach Him in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll watch for it this coming August. And if you haven't already, don't forget to hit the subscribe button at johnkessler.com. Hi, this is John Kessler. Thanks for tuning into a Stranger in the House of God podcast. I also want to invite you to be on the lookout for my latest book, entitled When God is Silent, coming from Lexham this August. It's a book about prayer, but probably not like any you've read before. This book does more than answer questions like how and why we should pray. It will help you to understand why we struggle with prayer, and why it often seems like an awkward conversation with God. When God is Silent will invite you to gain a sense of God, of His goodness, and the rich welcome that's waiting for us every time we approach Him in the name of Jesus Christ. I hope you'll watch for it this coming August. And if you haven't already, don't forget to hit the subscribe button at johnkessler.com.